Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Dave Buhner also in studio with us here. A couple of homeschooling dads putting it together during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, and the misapplication or the absolute negation of application of God's word to modern life. And this is largely because the Christian faith has died. And for the most part, people aren't interested in applying God's word to, you know, real life. Now, they might want to believe a few doctrines in God's word, but the application of God's word to real life, to science, to economics, to politics, that's something the vast majority of Reformed people, Baptist people, charismatic people would never, ever want to do. Why? Because they don't want to impose God's ethical requirements upon their own autonomous ways. They live in what we call autonomy. That is, they want to be a law to themselves. But that, of course, was the first sin. In the garden, man wanted to be a law to himself. Therefore, we're suggesting today on the program that we apply God's word, God's law, to every single aspect of life, including some of this brave new world stuff that's being foisted upon us through technology and through other means. And Dave, we've got a Time magazine article here that comes out October 2nd, 2011, that would have been a couple days ago. And it's about donor sexuals. Apparently, this whole idea of donating your sperms is really, really taking off. People are selling sperms for as much as $2,000. They're selling, you know, half a kid, so to speak, so that you can have your super sperm and maybe have your designer kid. And he'll make it into Harvard and eventually make $280,000 a year and euthanize his parents in the year 2060. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't part of the vision, but that's what's going to happen, friends, when it's all about our own selfish desires and the abolition of God's principles in the making of children. For months, here it says both a guy named Gardner and Beth Gardner and her wife Nicole. Excuse me. For months, Beth Gardner and her wife, Nicole.
What you have, Kevin.
I'm struggling with this.
You have two people in this marriage. Neither one are capable of producing sperm.
Okay. Again, friends, it's a brave new world, and it's the metrosexuals. And anyway, they're looking for help to conceive. Went through the sperm banks, and they balked at the prices, $2,000 apiece. Finally, they clicked around on the online underground mishmash of personal ads, open forums, members-only websites for women seeking sperm. After careful vetting, consisting of a homemade questionnaire, interviews, reference checks, and SDT tests, the couple settled on a 30-something professional and arranged the donation. Dave, I have to tell you, this is weird. This is twisted. This is postmodern techno-corruption of a social system, not to mention the sexual burnout that's involved in homosexuality. And Dave, what happens with the sperm donations is it's a partial orphan. It's the constructing of a partial orphan. Every time you have a male out there donating a sperm, it's a partial orphan. Even the courts, by the way, have acknowledged this. And purposely creating orphans is a severe crime in the Bible. Look up Exodus chapter 22, talks about afflicting the fatherless. And by the way, the affliction of the fatherless includes making the fatherless. And when 42% of kids are born without fathers, largely because fornication is happening everywhere, you've got a lot of men and women who are making orphans purposefully. And of course, now you've got kids conceived without fathers, and you're placing a curse on these children from day one. Now, by God's grace, some of them may be able to work out of their twisted past, but that's not everybody. By and large, friends, you create a society where 42% of kids are born without fathers and X percent are conceived without fathers thanks to these sperm donations. You're creating a brave new world with a lot of bastards. And Dave, you know, the word bastard was used for a reason because people understood that if you were born without a father, you were going to, in some way, have a loss of quality of life. You were going to have something less than a nuclear family in which to be raised. And you probably were going to have problems in your life. And you're probably going to see massive, massive generational problems when you've got a society where 42% of kids are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1970.
1960. Friends, you're looking at the unraveling of a social system. That's what's going on in the present system right now. And I tell you what, there's a lot of churches out there contributing to it because they're not standing up against sperm donation and saying, hey, running out there and manufacturing bastards is not what God wants us to be doing. In Exodus 22, he says, you do that kind of stuff, my wrath shall wax hot. I will kill you with a sword and your wives shall be widows. See, God's going to come after you if you're going to get out there and start pressing the fatherless and creating fatherless through sperm donations and through fornication, which is happening all over the place today. Not just in the inner cities, it's happening in our churches. And we're going to get to that in just a moment when we take our break. Dave, I mean, this kind of thing is scary. I mean, really scary.
Well, Kevin, first off, I think you ought to apologize. You've just insulted both of our two of the last three presidents who were born fatherless.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's your point about being just, bastards, being having bad character, maybe is true.
Just an indication of what's happening with the nation. Our leaders are going to come out of our nation, and our nation is a nation of bastards. That is illegitimate children. Now, it's the word used in the King James Version of the Bible, so I feel like I can still use it, can't I? If it's still in the King James Version of the Bible, if the Bible still uses it, can I still use the word? Yeah, because it's got a negative connotation. It's always had a negative connotation, and it should have a negative connotation right now. But by God's grace, friends, we have got to see something change, and we better have churches stand up and say, you don't go out there and violate God's law right and left by fornication and by the donation of sperms. And of course, by homosexuality and all the other forms in which we degrade sexuality and destroy the social fabric of a nation. Dave, of course, the future of this nation isn't going to look so hot. I think we're starting to see the burnout of a nation here.
Well, it's interesting that the story in the Time magazine, they found one married heterosexual couple that wanted children that didn't want to go through the normal sperm bank system, which is an abomination all by itself. But by far, is the vast majority of those seeking this underground sperm donation. It's a whole underground network where people are selling sperm. But by far, the clientele for that is lesbian couples. And this, I think, is very instructive about what motivates this.
Dave, you'd be surprised how much pro-homosexual attitudes there are out there. We were street preaching out on Friday night at the 16th Street Mall here in Denver. And sure enough, Dave, I tell you what, you get up there and you preach anything. I mean, homosexuality was not even mentioned in some of the preaching or in any of the preaching as far as I know. And immediately the homosexuals, the lesbians started yelling and screaming and saying, I'm gay and I'm right and you're wrong. And I mean, the homosexual issue came out right away. I think the homosexual issue is the defining issue of the day, bar none. I mean, you talk about Sodom, it was the defining issue in Sodom, and it still is today. But friends, this 20-something, 30-something, single, unmarried, tattooed, metrosexual, homosexual culture is rotten to the core. It's dying out. And in 40, 50 years from now, it's dead. Dead, dead, dead.
Kevin, there's a story here from the Daily Mail about a man in England who was ordered to pay £100,000 for a child he never knew. And it turns out that he had donated sperm to a sperm bank because he was undergoing some treatments, and he was afraid that he might not be able to have children afterwards. His ex-wife, after the divorce, got pregnant, faked his name on the records, got pregnant by him, and now he's got a daughter of some years old, and he's been ordered by the court to pay child support. This is the kind of ethical nightmare these kinds of brave new world technologies are leading into. Yep. I mean, here is a man, 57-year-old, retired.
Yep.
He didn't even know he had children, never met them.
Yep.
And here they are. They're 9, 10 years old, and he's being ordered to pay for child support because his ex-wife went and lied. Yet it's his sperm.
You talk about a fouled up, messed up, tangled up mess of a mess of a mess. Friends, I don't know what kind of a brave new world we're creating for us for the year 2025, 2035, 2040. What happens to these kids when they grow up? 42% of kids born without fathers. What happens to them when they grow up? Is anybody thinking about this? Is anybody concerned about the future of this nation? And I'm not sure the churches are doing a whole lot about it, as in preaching the Word of God and applying the Word of God and calling men and women to repentance. It's what we're doing on the streets, and very, very, very few people liked it. In fact, it got dangerous at points. There were people throwing stuff, and eventually this big, tough guy was trying to charge one of our preachers, and it could have gotten dangerous. Of course it's going to be dangerous. People hate the gospel of Christ. They hate the idea of repentance. Why? Because you're talking about a fairly burned out society that is apostatized away from any sense of right and wrong and are engaging in some of the worst moral behavior that anybody has ever engaged in the history of the world. Now, of course, Sodom did the same thing. There's a few examples in history. You can find a few examples as bad as Denver or San Francisco, but it's going to be really hard to find examples as bad as what we're dealing with here. Here's another story, Dave, that ties into, you know, once you abandon God's laws, try to fix it, you're going to mess up your life even more. Africans are now at HIV risk because of a contraceptive. The most popular contraceptive for women in the Eastern and Southern Africa regions, a hormone injection giving every 3 months, appears to double the risk users will become infected with HIV, according to a very significant study. You know, Dave, I've got a really good idea. How about a really, really good contraceptive method to go out there and maybe just preach, thou shalt not commit adultery? Why don't we try discipling the nations to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded? And one of the things Jesus has commanded, you'll find in Exodus chapter 20, you'll also find reference to it in Matthew chapter 5. One of the things Jesus commanded, thou shalt not commit adultery. It'd be really cool to get missionaries in Africa to stand up and say, hey guys, how about thou shalt not commit adultery, rather than exporting the American contraceptive methods, which is what we're doing. And Dave, you know that we're paying for this kind of thing. The United Nations is, but the American government is as well. And Hillary Clinton is out there in front doing everything she can to get these contraceptives into the hands of these women, because they're fornicating right and left in these major cities and trying to do what the feminists do best, and that is fornicate and use contraception and then abort the kid. I mean, that's really the whole vision that Hillary Clinton is trying to impose on the African women, too. And the end result, of course, way, way, way more HIV now in Africa because of these safe sex methods that Hillary Clinton is so big on. Well, folks, hey, maybe we ought to get back to the laws of God. Hillary, hey, let's try the laws of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Hey, maybe we ought to get some missionaries in Africa. Maybe that'll be a good way to solve the problems, the health problems in Africa. Dave, I'm throwing it out. What do you think?
Well, Kevin, I think we have way more problems than just that. And as we approach this issue, one is that we're having a demographic implosion around the world. People do not love children. They do not believe that children are a blessing.
Right.
The Bible clearly says children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So, you know, children, good. We got to get that. Children, good. Secondly, the way you get children, which is, of course, through intimate sexual contact, the problem is that God designed human sexuality to exist within the confines of a marriage. Imagine you had a glass, and it was filled with really good wine, and it's on top of the table here. As long as that wine is in the glass, it's useful for drinking, and you can enjoy the wine. You can sip it to your heart's content. It's a blessing. Knock the glass over. The wine is all over the table. The wine is no longer a blessing. It's staining the tablecloth, and there's very little left in the glass. And this is what's happened. We've drained human sexuality from our marriage. In most cases, we've broken the glass through divorce and other things. The sexuality is all across the table, and it's not a blessing anymore. And what God intended for good, man meant for evil. And it's kind of the reverse. And so our problems, because we don't keep sexuality in its right confines, and because we don't view the offspring that come from that as a blessing from the Lord, of course, it's only a blessing if you're in a married situation where you have a family and they grow, what we've done is we've utterly destroyed the fabric of our society.
This homosexuality thing is only going to last so long. It'll be fun. I mean, breaking God's law is going to be fun for a little while. Then they're going to burn out entirely. And, of course, with the birth implosions and the rest, these people won't even exist in the next 50 years from now. But, friends, unless we get back to a biblical foundation for social systems, unless we get back to the Word of God, you're not going to see these nations salvaged. You're not going to see health problems in Africa improved. And I'm sorry, the state can't get in there and save them for their free sex systems that they're trying to protect for the African women and for the American women and everybody else. They're going to do their best to try to save a free sex vision for these women so they can just have as much sex with whatever they want to have sex with as long as they can. But I'm here to tell you that you break God's law, eventually that law is going to break you. unless, of course, you come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the gospel of Christ. And until folks do repent of these things, Dave, I think we're going to see ongoing social breakup and, of course, a lot of individual heartache and a lot of broken families and a lot of broken hearts and a lot of kids that are going to be really, really, really messed up in lesbian families and homosexual families and in single mom families and on it goes. Friends, it's going to be very, very hard to put this Humpty back together again. Now, by the grace of God, we're able to put a little Humpty here back together again, a little Humpty over there back together again. But I tell you what, the macro is not going to be a very, very good-looking thing here in the next 30 to 40 years. Now, again, you can come out from among them and be separate. As God says in His Word, you can forget all that fornication stuff. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. It turns out there's just about the same percentage of evangelical young people who've committed fornication as the wider population. We're going to talk about a very important story next on Generation. Stay with me.
Hey, church leaders, are the parents in your church doing the basics in the home? I'm not talking about changing their children's diapers and feeding them 3 square meals a day. I'm talking about the basics, the Word of God. I'm talking about the book of Proverbs. If this is God's curriculum for kids, if this is God's book for providing knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to a young man or a young woman, then the parents in your churches need to be inculcating these lessons into their children. That's why I produced a 3-volume family Bible study series on the book of Proverbs specifically for parents who, by the way, are the God-appointed teachers according to the book of Proverbs. All right, pastors, elders, leaders, I'd like to encourage you to take this challenge. Instead of purchasing Sunday school materials this year, as most churches do, why not distribute our family Bible study guides on Proverbs to every family in your church? We'll be happy to provide you with bulk prices at generationswithvision.com. Churches all over America are providing family Bible study guides to their families as a means of encouraging families to this vitally important responsibility. Contact us through generationswithvision.com for bulk prices or order your copy today at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, talking about the decline of our social systems and the breakdown of the family in the 21st century. And certainly we're seeing it with sperm donations. And it's not just America, friends. It's all over the world. It turns out this domino effect of the broken social systems is affecting a lot of nations. Remember, it was Mexico City that approved abortion for the first time in the history of Mexico. This would have been about a year or two ago, as I recall. So Mexico now pro-abortion, at least in Mexico City. And in Mexico City being something like population 38 million or so, it's one of the very largest cities in the entire world. And here, also in Mexico City, this story comes in this morning. Apparently, they're going after 2-year marriage licenses. You can renew it, I guess, but you go for 2 years at a time in Mexico City.
That's ridiculous. My driver's license was for 6 years.
It was liberal lawmakers in the city's assembly are proposing a new amendment that eliminates the eternal bliss component from a marriage contract, providing couples with an easier exit strategy for a divorce.
Isn't that called rent a wife? I think there's names for that. Yeah. They're not usually kind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, folks, we're seeing a decline here everywhere. But let me hit this story here. This comes from CNN. John Blake at CNN. True love doesn't wait after all. Why young Christians aren't waiting anymore. The article apparently is referring to another article in Relevant Magazine. Relevant Magazine scares me.
I wanted
really
to get
scares
that,
me.
How but relevant it didn't apply
you,
to me.
How relevant do you want to be to a society that, 88% of the society of these young people are fornicating outside of the bounds of marriage, Dave? I mean, how relevant do you want to be? Well, evidently, in Relevant Magazine, is saying everybody's doing it, citing several studies examining the sexual activity of single Christians. One of the biggest surprises with the December 2009 study conducted by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy. Apparently, 80% of unmarried evangelical young adults 18 to 29 years of age said that they had sex, slightly less than 88% of unmarried adults, according to the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Organization. That is, it's 80% versus 88%. So slightly better. They are doing slightly better, but not that much better. Many of these Christian youths eventually abandon their purity pledges. You know, the true love waits stuff. Remember all that? True love waits, purity rings, virginity pledges, chastity pledges. Do you remember all these things that came out back in the 1990s, Dave? Apparently, they're abandoning their purity pledges. Tyler Charles talked to people like Maria, an evangelical woman who said she wanted to wait until marriage to have sex, but she said she started to have it after she turned 20 because nearly everyone, even most of her Christian friends, were having sex, and so on it goes.
Well, really, it does say that she was having sex with her college boyfriend.
Yeah,
And I think that that's instructive also. Yeah. First off, Kevin, let's talk about the name of this study. The National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancies.
Right, right. They don't care about fornication.
No.
This is Hillary Clinton again. This is Hillary Clinton and her agenda. And, of course, everybody out there that's doing the liberal agenda and doing the Planned Parenthood thing and has been for the last 40 years, as far as I can remember.
What they're against is if your wife, Brenda, says to you next week, Kevin, honey, I'm pregnant. Well, since you didn't plan that pregnancy, yeah, they're against it.
Yeah, they are against that.
So they're going to throw teen and unplanned altogether. In other words, the only time you have a baby is when you plan to have a baby. Right. So I find the whole thing rather distasteful.
It is. But the fact of the matter is, Dave, Christians are not coming out from among them and being separate, at least very much, because their social system is much like what's happening with the world around them. They're not getting married, and it's very, very hard to wait. Now, here is a very, very important statement at the end of the story. Again, this is CNN, friends, listen carefully. Sociologically speaking, the one big difference, and it's monstrous, between the biblical teaching and our culture is the arranged marriages of very young people. If you get married when you're 13, you don't have 15 years of temptation. Wow. Wow. I read that and said, whoa, somebody's figuring out something. And Dave, as you know, 13 might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but people weren't waiting till they were 32, 34, 36, 37 because they were too busy playing video games and having fun and not growing up. And that reminds me of another story that just came out. I think this was CNN as well, that apparently these young men are not growing up. In fact, it's Bill Bennett, CNN, again this morning. Young men aren't grown up. 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. And according to Bill Bennett in this article, he says it's the worst it's ever been in the history of society. He says never before have young men been so unmotivated, and never have young men been without jobs, never have young women been excelling in all these other areas in the history of the world than right now. And that's one of the major reasons why our social systems are so broken down, friends. Our young boys aren't grown up. And of course, we're coming out of six generations since the Industrial Revolution. Fathers left the home. Fathers haven't been discipling their young men forever and ever and ever. And because of that, after the generations, you're going to see a generational decline. And these young men are not really with it. They're not mentored to be men. They don't know how to be men. They're not growing up. And of course, we have a far more escapistic society than we ever had before. Hey, they're in movies. They've got a thousand exit ramps from the highway of reality. They're able to be their own avatar online and play these computer games until 3 a.m. I mean, okay, that's the world we live in. It's a far, far cry from the world of the 1990s and the 1980s, friends. It is a brave new world out there. And a lot of these young people aren't growing up. They're not getting ready to get married. And yet they still have a sexual appetite. And Dave, that I think is the issue. They have a sexual appetite. And my guess is they're not being taught the word of God in a very careful manner. They're probably not being discipled in character and in faith. And by the way, we don't separate those things. They're distinct but not separate in the scriptures. If you don't have faith, you don't have character. So your faith had better be the foundation for your character. But they don't have the faith. Their faith is very, very, very weak. They therefore aren't going to be keeping the laws of God because they're not going to have the faith to repent. They're not going to have the faith to receive the law of God, to embrace it, to love it, to live it. No. They don't have the faith. You have a very, very paltry little faith that's being taught and is oozing out of some of the pulpits in this land. But it's very, very, very thin. And so the end result is going to be a lot of these young people, some 80% are going to fornicate by the time that they're 28 years old or 30, 35 or whenever they get married. Dave, this is a huge challenge, a humongous challenge. I mean, we're dealing with not just a sexual issue. We're dealing with an entire sociological breakdown of the family, of mentorship, of the raising of young men, of our economic systems, because they can't get married because they don't have jobs. We're looking at a pretty big problem here.
Yeah, you're looking at the destruction of masculinity. You're looking at the destruction of sexuality, which both together combine for the destruction of the family, which leads to the destruction of a civilization. Feminists will one day rue the day that they decided that they wanted to level the playing field. Rather than seeking their worth that comes from God, they wanted to do it by destroying men's worth. They will rue that day. Men right now, and women for that matter, are being constantly titillated from a very young age. We're provoking their sexual drive. God gave men and women a sexual drive in order that they would get married. A man says, oh, I've got this drive. I need to get married. Because many men would not get married. They'd be too lazy, or they'd find a way to live by themselves, which is not a good thing. Living by oneself is the Bible does never commend that. I know some monks in the Middle Ages thought it might be a good idea. But the thing that is instructive about that is they didn't have any children. They didn't have a godly seed. They didn't have a legacy. They didn't have a heritage from the Lord. So God gives us this plan. Feminism and socialism and all the other isms have combined to take it away. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that we swim in this sewer.
Yeah.
And so it's very difficult for us to raise our boys and girls and get them married at 18. It's very difficult.
Yeah. You know, I get a lot of young men come up to me and ask me, hey, Pastor, how do I deal with this fornication temptation? How do I deal with pornography temptations? How do I deal with this desire to lust after women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, I get young men, you know, this is a, and they better be talking to you, pastors. Man, our young men better be talking to their dads, to their pastors about these sorts of things. If they're not, you know they're in trouble. I mean, you know they're in trouble. That's a given. So the first thing we got to be doing is talking about it. But Dave, my counsel is, if you're burning, you know, you want to have sex, go get married. You know what they come back with? I mean, that's an obvious thing. You want to have sex, go get married. That's the biblical thing to do.
I can't get married. I don't have a job.
So you know what I say next? Go get one.
Go get a job.
Go get a job. Go get a job. You want to get married? You want to have sex? Go get married. Paul says it's better to marry than to burn. That's just basic Pauline counsel, friends. You want to have sex? Go get married. Young man, go get married. Well, I can't get married. Don't have a job. Go get a job. Go get work. Dave, if they really want to have sex, they're going to go get a job. They're going to get a job. They're going to get married. They're going to raise kids. And the problem is they don't have a vision. I think that's the problem. They don't have a vision for life. They don't have a vision for the laws of God. The law of God does a beat in their hearts, knowing that there's something in there. There's a sexual clock that's ticking in it. And God made them that way. And they have a desire to be one with a woman. And they got to be a family. And God put that thing in them. They better get their rear end gear, get their act together, and go get a cotton picking job. Go get some work. That's, of course, why we do as much mentorship as we do with the Shepherd Center. Now, we're trying to get these guys into work. We want to get them trained. We want to get them working. By the way, college isn't work. Okay, college doesn't count. College doesn't count. Here's the other thing I tell them. I tell them, hey, work hard. Work hard. Work hard. You know, if you're studying for 6 hours a day, go work for another 6 or 8 hours a day. Work really, really hard and focus your emotions elsewhere. Don't get your emotions all wrapped around porn. I mean, a lot of guys will do that. I mean, they get their emotions wrapped around some gal they can't marry, you know, online. You see guys doing that all the time. You know, some girl who's kind of a flaky, floozy type, they get their emotions all wrapped around her, and they're good at this. Some of these women are easy, are fairly loose in that way, and they get the little heartstrings of these young men all tied up in what they're saying, and before you know it, you know, they're emotionally attached to these young ladies. So I say, hey, keep your emotions away from those internet relationships. Keep your emotions away from the porn sites. Tie your emotions around the Psalms, for example. You might even write some poetry. I did that when I was younger. I found out it was actually helpful to write some of my own poetry. Some of my best poems, actually, I was writing when I was about 18, 19, 20 years of age. But this is some of the counsel I give to folks, to young men especially, who are struggling with this. Dave, I mean, what kind of counsel? How not to fornicate? Come on, let's wrap up the program with to fornicate.
Here's some ideas. Unplug from the media.
Yeah, there you go.
Stop the titillation. Sure. That's point one. Point two. I know there's child labor laws. Work around it. Start a family business. That's what I've done with my son. The fact that you can't get a job until you're 16 is an affront to trying to teach character in children. So get them working. Find some business, something that the labor of their hand, hopefully something that they can transfer later, is a skill that they're already working. So they want to get married. They say, work. Well, I don't have a job. Well, you've been trained to work. You actually have something to do now. Yeah. It may not pay as much as Bill Gates is making or Donald Trump, but it should be sufficient to put a roof over your house and feed too. And hopefully God will bless you if you dedicate the work to him. Third, be a man who, when he sees the temptress, also sees the skeletons. Teach yourself to see the skeletons that are at her door. Death lies at her door. Also, think about her father, because every woman has a father. And as you're tempted to fornicate with that girl, you are offending that father. If he's a righteous man at all, you wouldn't want that to happen to your daughter. So there's some thought tricks that I try and teach men. You know, don't curse God for your sexual drive. Use that sexual drive to build God's kingdom, yeah. i.e. have a family. Yeah. Until that time, see the skeletons. I mean, you got to see the skeletons at her door. Her pathway leads to death, guys. So when you see her, see the skeletons, and to see her father, knowing that what you're doing is a very unloving, it's very lustful, but a very unloving act.
Well, I had a father come up to me a couple weeks ago and ask me about purposeful self-stimulation. And I know that's a sensitive topic, and the Bible doesn't have anything directly to say about it. But Dave, as you know, these things are self-oriented, and a lot of young men, they become so self-oriented, their tiny little world. And, you know, of course, what you see in 1 Corinthians 7 is that your body is for your wife's, hers is for you, but you're to give up yourself to somebody else, that is to your wife. And it is not, this whole sexual relationship thing is not to be self-oriented. And Dave, when young men get involved in this self-orientation, you know what happens? They get married and they've established bad habits, and they have all kinds of problems with weird fantasizing and sometimes even homosexuality. I think that some of this stuff can lead to homosexuality, maybe the rise of homosexuality in the present age. Well, let me close with this short admonition. That is, friends, you've got to get into the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 7 is God's word, critical word for young men. You've got to get your boys into the book of Proverbs. And I'll tell you what, there's a huge number of Christian parents out there just ignoring the book of Proverbs as the basic curriculum. You've got to be teaching it as early as 8, 9, 10, 12 years of age. The Bible has a lot to say about our young men and how they view the whore, how they view the prostitute, and how they ought to focus their sexual energy upon the wife of their youth. That's Proverbs chapter 5. Be sure you teach the book of Proverbs to your young men. You got to be in it. They should be memorizing some of these passages. Why? Because this is wisdom for our young men. And I think one of the reasons you have 80% of Christian kids who are just goofing off and winding up in sexual fornication is because they have not been taught the book of Proverbs in those homes. And that's one reason why, of course, I put together our Proverbs study guide series, available on our website. Friends, after 2.5 years of hard work, we finally pulled together a study guide series. I believe the first in probably all of history, a study guide series on the book of Proverbs for your family. Again, these things are available at kevinswanson.com. And if you would like a copy of these things free of charge, you can't afford to pay for copies of these study guides and you need them for your family, please just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.